Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast, where three friends gather around a table in order to talk about things. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Zach, and joined with me is one of my co-hosts,
Zach,
and the best boy of them all.
Aww.
Steve. Yeah, that's Steve over there.
That was a vanilla intro.
It was pretty normal. I just got out of the shower. I was like,
hey, we're all here. It's early. Let's do it. Let's not wait till 8 o'clock on a Sunday.
But then that's when we just get real fucked. Like, just like, I'm really tired, and then we're all distracted. Like, we're on a clean course set trail right now.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very, optimized front-to-back podcast.
I haven't had any caffeine yet.
We're recording before noon.
The sun is still out.
We've never done that, even when...
It's been a while.
Even when we schedule times.
Yeah, it was always afternoon.
It was 1 o'clock.
Well, it started at noon, and we moved it to 1. Because we never started at noon.
Speaking of things never getting started again, Netflix has canceled Punisher and Jessica Jones.
Well, a little wrong there. They're still doing another season of Jessica Jones. Yeah,
that's still coming out.
Well, yeah, they're axing the series after season 3 premieres.
Which apparently they're giving that series a nice wrap-up. Because Kristen Ritter even came out and said, I like the way it's ending. It's good for the fans.
It better end with Jessica and Luke boning and then having a child, like a time skip forward, like the Defenders reunion everyone wanted. And it's curious to me that like a lot of these Marvel shows really got shot on after Defenders bombed. And again, I actually did watch a little more. I got to a halfway point before I gave up on the show this time, and I just could not get into it as much as I could have with, like, season 1 of Jessica Jones or season 1 of Luke Cage. I never even knew Punisher came out with season 2 came out. And that blew my mind.
They did the Netflix thing of, like, by the way, this is out.
Well, they're not even advertising it anymore.
No, they're not. They're just, like, they'll put in, like, a press release somewhere of, like, hey, here's one of the things coming this month.
Yeah, so an unspecified Netflix representative told Deadline that Marvel's Punisher will not return for a third season. Showrunner Steve Lightfoot, the terrific crew, and the exceptional cast, including John Bernthal, delivered an acclaimed and compelling series for the fans, and we are proud to showcase their work on Netflix for years to come. In addition, in reviewing our programming, we have decided that the upcoming third season will also be the final season for Marvel's Jessica Jones. We are grateful to showrunner Melissa Rosenberg, star Kristen Ritter, and the entire cast and crew for three incredible seasons of this groundbreaking series, which was recognized by the Peabody Awards and many others. We are grateful to Marvel for 5 years of our fruitful partnership and thank the passionate fans who have followed these series from the beginning. So it does make me wonder whether or not it was all on a 5-year contract to begin with.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think we all kind of like expected this of like, all right, they act 1, they act 2, they act 3. There's only 2 left. Like, it doesn't make any sense for them to keep going.
Well, I mean,
with those.
Defenders hasn't been canceled, right? Just all of the cast members of Defenders.
Wasn't it part of the like first wave?
I have no idea.
Cancellations.
I don't think they ever officially canceled, but I don't think they ever.
I think it's implied
a second season.
It's probably implied that it's not coming back.
And my thinking is like with the Disney streaming service coming out, I think it was a matter of, all right, you can keep the contract, Netflix. But for more, like you have to pay us more.
Yeah, they probably just made them and was like, no, we don't want it that much. We're good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people theorizing whether or not these series are going to be revived on Hulu or Disney Plus, or they're going to be integrated into the MCU as a whole, or even if, you know, these characters just get rebooted back into the MCU as, you know.
I also see that.
Yeah.
They could make it part of their phase 5 or whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, Defenders should have been that crowning Avengers moment or like the Brave and the Bold version of CW. But it just went on for too long with a lot of just weird pacing issues, in my opinion, at least. Like I said, I never got the full wrap up.
Yeah. I think the only episodes I watched were the ones we watched together. So, like
so episode one.
1 and 2, I think.
We didn't watch 2 together.
Did we not? Oh. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is not as exciting as we thought. Not as hype. And when you have a team, like, you're building up to this event, and your hype moment's not there for, like, 3 or 4 episodes, it's kind of a letdown. Even though you know that it's like, all right, we know they're eventually going to band together. because that's what these all these shows have been driving towards.
And honestly, I don't think they should have made Defenders a full series. Like, think about Avengers. They had all the movies leading up to it, and then they joined together in one movie. So, like,
it's true.
It was, all right, movie, lead up to it, team right at the halfway point in the movie.
Yeah.
Even the crossovers for the Arrowverse, those were only one or two episodes to start off with, instead of a whole season of Barry and Oliver.
Do you think they could have done the classic, like one show you have to watch this? They do it in a classic Marvel crossover event. One episode is in this series.
Oh, they do that for CW. It's like, all right, here's the 4-part crossover. I have to watch Arrow, Flash, which I'd normally watch. Now I have to watch Legends, which was poo poo for a season, and then I have to go watch Supergirl.
Poo poo. It just focused too much on the Hawks. After they got rid of the Hawks and Vandal Savage,
once they got silly.
Oh yeah, season two was fucking amazing, and
they just had to get to the silly point.
They just needed to know not to take themselves seriously. Like, it's amazing to me how diverse the Berlanti production line is at this point, because you have, like, the darkness that is Titans and Arrow, and now you have the silly that is Doom Patrol, Supergirl to a degree, and Legends now.
Nah, Supergirl's getting more political.
Oh, okay. I'm really excited.
Think about it. They have a show about an alien girl on Earth. What could they do?
And
with
also,
that?
They're introducing
human trafficking. No.
What could they do?
They brought in aliens. The first trans character for trans superhero.
Sorry. Yeah, Dream Girl.
What could they possibly do with that in today's
Dreamer.
Society?
Dreamer?
Dream I think Girl. It's Dreamer.
Legends, or not Legends, Legion of Superheroes. Waiting for that series still. Yeah, it's a bummer for Netflix. And I think Jeff Loeb even said in his remark to all the cancellations, is like, to be continued, just in the Stan Lee classic fashion of like, hey, there might be more. But even then, I love all the writers on these current books coming up to Twitter. It's like, weird, all these shows are getting canceled. If only there was some way to see these beloved characters come back in brand new, exciting stories. Month to month, maybe even week to week. No, that
doesn't exist.
Not in the slightest. Oh, speaking of Netflix, though, this one isn't in our notes, but Greg Rucka's The Old Guard got acquired by Netflix, and it's going to star Charlize Theron.
That's interesting, because I only read like the first couple issues of Old Guard, so I'm not sure where it went.
For those of you that don't know, the Old Guard is a small covert group of immortal mercenaries who must fight to keep their team together when they discover the existence of a new immortal and their extraordinary abilities are exposed. I'm pretty excited for it. I love Rucka and just the original concept of these old soldiers never dying.
Yeah.
It's like,
except from the two issues I read, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I think my issue was it felt too much like Lazarus. I'm like, okay, I feel like this is just another version of Lazarus with just these mercenary heroes.
See, I never read Lazarus, and I only read Old Guard.
Yeah, I mean, Lazarus is kind of the same idea, except it's kind of in a dystopian future, where it's like these people are modified to be immortal, more or less. It's weird. Or like they're brought back like repeatedly instead of just being immortal.
Huh.
Kind of the same. It had a very similar tone, so I think that's kind of why I'm just like, okay, I get it.
Fair game. I'll allow it. What was the next point? Sorry. Also, I don't know if you guys saw this. Captain Marvel's getting review bombed on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
And it's
no.
Not even out yet.
I think there's been like advanced screenings for people, because I've been seeing a lot of people talking about it on Twitter that aren't reviewers. So I think there was like some special screenings or something.
Okay.
Yeah, people are, once again, people who don't want it to succeed are trolling it before it's out.
Damn you, Comicsgate.
But you know what's fantastic? People are still going to go see it anyway, because it's a fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah.
You think, like, it's like when Last Jedi came out and the negative audience score, it's like, I'm still going to go see it because it's a fucking Star Wars movie. I don't care what Bob every guy says.
Well, these are like straight up trolls.
Well, no, yeah, these are trolls,
like,
but at the same time,
Steam.
I want to use Bob just because of Bob Iger over at Disney.
I just...
John.
I just chose a generic white dude name.
Bob Reviewer Guy.
It's fair game. This kind of goes along with what I saw on Twitter today, where people were arguing about how Star Wars were supposed to be these cinematic masterpieces. They weren't meant to be fun movies, and they should be taken super seriously. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, does no one remember Dagobah? Like, that entire sequence on Dagobah of Yoda just being a troll.
Does no one remember the original premise of Luke? He was a moisture farmer on a desert planet.
But and at he the same needed time, to go pick up power converters.
At Taji Station.
And that's the thing is, like, oh, it's supposed to be cinematic masterpieces. They never thought they were going to get past the first one.
No.
That's why they only, like, when it first came out, it was only Star Wars. It wasn't Star Wars A New Hope. After the success it had, then they rebranded it as A New Hope.
And then further rebranding called it Episode 4. Yeah. And it's just like, the fuck you mean Episode 4?
What do you mean you're going to make three movies in before this?
Yeah. It's like, they never planned for it to succeed. Yes, it did succeed, but you can't say these are meant to be giant masterpieces. Like, no.
Says
they
who?
Were, from the start, they were never meant to be cinematic masterpieces. They were a movie someone wanted, George Lucas wanted to make, and he made it, and they expected it to bomb.
Well, man, I'm just telling you, everything that happened after has just been like, fucking Clone Wars, that sure was fun. And then you get to like season three when everything goes to shit and it's just really dark and you're on planet Umbra and the clones are killing each other during the middle of a war zone. It's just like, oh my god, what have we done?
It's like, and here's a little thing called the Force Unleashed.
Yeah, like I don't have
fun with a choice of duality in the Star Wars universe.
And it's not, and that's Star Wars and its entire premise is duality. So I don't understand these people that are coming out there. Like, let's be real, it's a genre film. More than anything, people are going for it to be fun. Like, Battle Angel Alita is doing fairly well in the box office right now because it's fun genre movie. Not meant to be a
They're adapting a manga from like the late 80s.
Also, it was an anime.
Was it an anime? Yeah.
Oh, okay. It might have been still, an anime movie, but yeah.
Still, let's rewind for a second. Not everything was Akira back then.
What? My six volumes are lies.
There was some real cheese in back in the late 80s of anime.
Looking at you, Astro Boy.
There's been cheese through all of anime. Like, yeah. Now it's become an accepted thing of, yeah, we're going to make this cheesy as fuck, yo. But back then, they took themselves seriously.
Yeah.
And then you watch and you're like, huh.
Just because Evangelion was serious doesn't mean everything in the 90s was serious.
Honestly, even Akira, some of that was cheesy. Yeah. Them standing in a abandoned football stadium shouting at each other, Tetsuo Kaneda laser.
Yeah, I just really don't understand, like, the internet. It's just the internet. Like, it's just Twitter that pisses me off more than anything.
I think it's the people who like just try to press, like, they create these arguments that aren't really arguments, where like I literally read a full like blurb from a review of a guy who's like, Captain Marvel's way too feminist. I'm like, do you not understand what the character stands for, like, at all? She's about upbringing everyone.
So I actually have to have this discussion.
She's a woman.
With a student, because I run, like, the AV program at our school, and we always do, like, these cheesy, like, be blah, blah, blah. It's a great way to blah, blah, blah. So sometimes students do something silly, and then these two boys put, be a woman. It's a great way to start your day. And then one of them is laughing. I'm like, why is that funny? It's like, because it's two guys saying, I'm like,
so?
All right, let's talk about feminism really quick. Because
I'm about to wake you up.
Let's start the woke culture early, children.
It goes back to when Jodie Whittaker was announced the Doctor. A female superhero? No. What's next? Female doctors?
What's next? Female... I don't know, man.
It gets to the point where it's like, what's next? Female women?
What's next, female soldiers? Side eyes Overwatch.
Side eyes the actual military.
Yeah.
But I just like to imagine them like, man, I can't believe they're doing a female superhero. Send. Mom, can you make me a sandwich?
Mom, Black Widow's not a superhero.
It's like, you had, what, 18 movies that didn't star a female lead. It's like, get the fuck over yourselves. It's the Dudley
meme from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But last year I had 33 white protagonists.
Oh, man.
But at this, again, it's like, no mom whose little girl is excited, who's any child who's excited to
I'm
go see
it. I'm fucking excited.
I said, I'm going to go fucking see it no matter what.
I need to figure out when I'm going to go see it.
But it's like, if your child comes up to you, be like, mom, I really want to go see this Captain Marvel movie. It looks super awesome. They're not going to go to Rotten Tomatoes and be like, well, all of these comic nerd gatekeepers are saying it's terrible. I'm not going to take my daughter
Ooh,
to it.
Did you hear the new stance that Comic Gates has taken on? Ooh, this one guy showed up to a convention.
They think they've won.
Hashtag Comicsgate, hashtag I stand with Vic. And I'm like, two really bad slopes right now.
I was going to say, like,
That's a lovely hill I see you dying on over there.
You're going to show up to a Comic-Con and get shat on by, like,
everyone.
90%, because you will find your 10%
yeah,
of people.
You'll get the guys like, yeah, high five. I stand with Vic, too. Which is something I don't want to get into, because that one...
It's still too close to home.
That one hit me personally.
And
it's just a whole shit show.
Again, I know this hurts for you even more. You know, all the conversations on Vic Mignogna, and then Todd Haberkorn comes out of left field. It's like,
no!
By the way, I didn't do anything. And it's
that one.
Oh, that was part of the Vic Mignogna, one of the letters. I remember
Yeah, there was someone talking about Vic Mignogna, and they...
Unspecified voice actor.
Unspecified in the article. But then she was doing a thing where when people messaged her, she would confirm if they got the name right.
Wow, that's...
And then was texting other people in their community about it, and it got back to him.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Was that a straight rumor, or was there actually something there? Is that one still marquee?
It's not being talked about nearly as much as Vic Mignogna. It's kind of
so it's probably
gone to the wayside.
It was either a one-off instance or it might not be as accurate.
Let's just look at all of our other great voice actors, like David Tennant, Michael B. Jordan,
Chris
Dakota
Savitt,
Monica Rial,
Megan Shipman. Megan Shipman's only 26. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Oh, I'm a teacher.
Her and Amanda Lee are like both our age.
Yeah.
And they're... I didn't really like... they both did their like anime, like their character, all the characters they voiced in real. I'm like, wow, they did a lot of stuff last year. Mm-hmm. A lot of like small roles, but
not
still.
Even last year. They've been going for like Megan Shipman's been one of
the new game drop
main side characters in Overlord for all three seasons.
And she's like, you know, she became Alba that like shot her up, and then it's like, oh, Magical Girl Raising Project up. She's replacing Ashley Birch in Steins Gate up. Like, she's done an awesome job.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's great.
Watch her streams on Twitch. It's great, y'all. Anyways. Gaming. You can raise a Porg in VR. This is the dream come true.
For who?
For me.
For Zach.
For the rest
so,
of us.
So, announced at the 2019 Magic Leap Conference, ILM XLab, the Immersive Entertainment Division of Lucasfilms has created a mixed reality game called Project Porg.
Mixed reality, sorry.
The premise of Project Porg is that Chewbacca's left you with a Porg and a holographic device. The holographic device contains care instructions from C-3PO, who is voiced by longtime Star Wars actor Anthony Daniels in-game.
Why Anthony Daniels? Why?
Over the course of the time, the game will teach players Porg living habits and routines, and according to Matt Martin, the creative executive for a Lucasfilm story, the relationship with you and your Porg is similar to owning a cat or a dog.
Oh my god.
I hate almost everything you've just said about
in
this
Project
so
Porg, your Porg builds a family, and soon you find yourself raising a murder of Porgs, which is a group.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because I want to murder all those Porgs.
You can keep your Porgs entertained by having them chase a light from a laser pointer, play fetch with a virtual ball, or even chew on a little Chewbacca toy. I just can't.
It's so pure.
So the designers of ILM XLab collaborated with the team that helped create Porgs for Star Wars Last Jedi. And yeah.
Is this why you quit Pokemon Go?
I don't know,
man.
You're
just going to be raising Porgs?
I actually tried to see if I can get a Magic Leap 1, but it was like, oh, you have to create a login. Oh, you have to do this to even view the product. I'm like, BillGates@Microsoft.com. Oh, you have to validate your email first. Fuck. You know, make like a junk Gmail really quick.
Like, you don't want to sell me the thing.
I just want to look at how much it costs first.
What's it called?
The Magic Leap one.
Magic Leap. I don't know why when you first said it, I thought you said Magic Leap.
Leap, because of the porgs.
I have kind of turned a corner on Leap because I saw the most pure post on Reddit of, it was someone posted a topic of, what's a word that young kids say that you don't understand, but you love saying anyway?
Yeah, the 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to say leet till I fucking die.
No, that one was yeet.
Was it yeet?
It was yeet. I don't understand it, but I'm going to keep saying it until I yeet off this fucking mortal coil. Yeah.
It's like, all right, you've turned me on.
Let's get this bread, guys.
That's, I fucking hate.
That one, I'm just like, where did this originate?
Breadwinners.
Right.
What is breadwinners?
That's the person who brings home the money for the family.
It's a term.
It's an economic term.
Yeah, from like the 40s, 50s.
I know what the term is, but I'm just like, really? That's where we got this from? I thought it was like a meme or something. Like old things.
Probably is. Some vine got resurrected from the depths of hell and then people are on it. It's like how TikTok is the new Vine.
It's true.
I will never make a TikTok account, though.
Nope.
As much, I'll just wait till the compilation goes on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll just wait for someone else to post one that's actually worth my time.
No, I don't want a creator edition. I'm not giving you my goddamn email.
See how hard this is?
So yeah, so it's probably still in
beta testing.
It's developmental phase.
You're a beta tester.
Like, here's a... Oh, wait, never mind.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
$2,300.
Okay.
Whew.
For the developer kit.
God damn. Not even the OG like Vive and Oculus's were that expensive.
Starting at $96 a month at 0% APR.
Well, 0% Alien Power Rangers is a bad touch.
I know you made a Power Rangers reference, but I'm scared for your understanding of
we're good.
Economic terms.
Oh no, dude, I taught economy for 3 years. I got this.
When
I taught history.
Oh. Yeah, here's a credit card with 32% APR. Oh, 32% Alien Power Rangers. Fuck yeah, sign me up. Cool, you're in debt forever.
I have the White Ranger, though.
Because you're going to be paying 32% interest for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's how college works.
Only if you don't pay the balance.
Alrighty. Moving forward, Reggie Fils-Aimé. Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Fils-Aimé. I'm so proud of you. Because last time it was in the chat, you called him Fils-Aimé.
Yep. Is retiring for Nintendo, and Doug Bowser is to take over.
I still
over.
Can't believe they have someone named Doug Bowser
company. No. Do you think that they actually had someone, like, this is like their stage name? Like, it's not their actual legal name?
I think it's his actual name. Like, I think it's just a crazy coincidence.
Like, did he grow up saying, I'm going to work at Nintendo?
But do you think that whenever he left a room after Mario 64 came out, all he got for the rest of his life was Salange Bowser.
God. So Reggie.
Which, yes, I know it's Mario saying so long Bowser, but the way that Charles Martinet says it, sounds like he's saying Salange Bowser.
Do you think he'll say that? Like, how many times do you think people ask him to say that? He's gonna be at Comic Con. Should we ask him?
No, because if you have one question to ask him, it's going to be Waluigi.
Can he say wow? Reggie Fils-Aimé, the longtime president and COO of Nintendo of America, is retiring this spring. He and the company announced in a joint statement on Thursday. Taking over the role will be the company's current senior vice president of sales and marketing, Doug Bowser, a man whose name requires a yes, really, after every mention. Fils-Aimé began his role at Nintendo in 2006, following a 3-year stint as the executive VPs of sales and marketing, and he served as the face of Nintendo for the North American territories. Like, didn't he go to E3 saying he's here to kick ass?
His first E3 appearance was, I'm here to kick ass, take names, and I'm all about making games.
And he's actually one of those people, like, I love Phil Spencer and Reggie for this reason, is that they actually buy into all of the products that their company makes.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's a huge Nintendo fan.
Again, I can't name anyone from Sony.
Mr. Sony, yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Sony.
Sean Layden.
Mr. Sony.
I only know that because of Greg Miller.
But, like,
it's like at the Game Awards when Phil Spencer, Reggie Fils-Aimé, and Sony guy came out.
Like, just, he's been such an incredible figurehead, and he's never been afraid to, like, be totally exacerbated to another level of like,
or just himself. Like he had a meme of the Reginator for a while.
Oh yeah, like I remember him
laserizing.
Yeah,
someone.
He was. They made a robot chicken version of him for E3.
He's incredible.
Yeah, it's just a. It's a bittersweet story because one, it's not like he's leaving because of some scandal or something. He's leaving on a happy, like
he's retired.
It's his terms.
He's gonna spend time with his family and
then probably go
Mario,
do something else.
Mario, Luigi, the Splatoon kids,
Mario, Luigi, Mrs. Fisame, whoever she is.
It's Peach.
Let's be real. It's probably Pauline. He's old school.
Yeah,
Nintendo.
But it's kind of cool. Like you know, the internet has taken up to Dave Bowser already. Like in the announcement video, he's sitting there talking, and in the background there's Mario and Luigi tied up with a GameCube controller. And then I think Nintendo released a picture today of him spending time with his son, and it's a plush Bowser Jr. with a cappy hat on it. And it's just like, all right, we're off to a great start.
I pray.
I mean, I think
pray. He has multiple children named after the Koopa kids.
I feel like he had, like, if he hasn't rolled with, like, his name at this point, then, like, what are you still doing
like said,
at Nintendo,
if,
dude?
If Doug Bowser does not have a son named Morton and a daughter named Wendy at this point, what do you do with your life, man?
I'm trying to find the
picture.
It's
like the universe aligned you up for this. You have to take that.
Yeah,
you could
it's,
have the Koopa kids.
It's crazy. It's just so cool. But again, it is so bittersweet just because Reggie has been this face for so long.
Thank you, Reggie.
But like, I think this ties into our gaming point right now. Just the fact that Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass may be coming to Switch. It just shows like the openness between these two companies of like Nintendo being like, Ubisoft's my best friend. Now Microsoft is my best friend. Like, I just can't wait to see all these
it's
crazy
still,
collaborations.
It's still, like, highly rumored, but there's a lot of, like, evidence pointing to this is happening.
Well, and it's something that they could easily do, because...
with their streaming platform.
Yeah, like, I... just an example, I downloaded Smite on the Switch, because it just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can link your account.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I linked my account. It has all of the gods, because I have the God Pass on Xbox. Has all of my...
cross progression.
Yeah,
bless.
It kept all of my God Mastery, so I still have my Diamond Kukulkan.
Like, that's all. That's like mostly what I want in the world is just cross progression. Like, crossplay would be nice because I would just be playing on PC all the time, but cross progression's the big one.
Right.
Well, it's like how Xbox started with their Play Anywhere service that hasn't really taken off on too many games.
I feel like they're going to try and revamp it with if they do go like hard with this streaming platform, Xbox as a service kind of thing.
I think Crackdown has Play Anywhere.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I did Halo Wars 2 as Play Anywhere, so I'd be playing on my PC, Brandon would play on Xbox, and we would join together in matches.
And like Apex is going to do that soon where you can...
they'll have cross-play.
Yeah, you can play with other people on... so like, Brandon could play Apex on his computer and I could be on Xbox.
Like, it's really cool just to see that we're finally... I think we're almost past the console wars. We're almost there.
Yeah, and I mean, from what I've been reading a lot up on, like, the art... like, there's been, like, a new article, like, every day about this because it, like, keeps getting more and more things of, like, well, this was also said, so it's... or this was found in data mining...
because
it seems like Xbox is actually like they're trying to like they're still gonna like the rumor is they're still gonna release two stream like boxes at E3 or not release them but announce them. So the hardware is still gonna be there, but they're definitely trying to move into a service base, like you bind the Xbox platform and you get all these games, you get Game Pass, you get the exclusives that you can only play on that service while you can still play everything else.
Like Rainbow Six Siege 2.
That's still way off.
We're
still
years.
Like 60 years
yeah,
away
60
from
years
there.
Away.
Yeah.
But that still means there's going to be like 50 years of updates for Siege.
And another thing too, if all these rumors about Xbox coming to Nintendo in this fashion are true, I really hope that I could just use my Xbox Live for my Nintendo online services. Like, yeah. I got so jazzed to play Tetris, and then I was like, oh, I don't pay $20 a year. And then I shut my Switch off. I'm like, I don't know, man, $20 a year?
not much. I mean, I bought it for
side eye Xbox.
Cloud saves.
Yeah.
Well, and at the same time, there's not a lot that requires it right now. Smash, Tetris,
Mario Kart, Splatoon, Diablo.
Yeah. Smite doesn't need it. Paladins doesn't need it. Fortnite doesn't need it.
Yeah. I'm just kind of sitting there and like, is it worth it right now? Like, yeah, as cool as it is to play Smash with people around the world, I just know I'm going to get my ass kicked every time. If a student can beat me with a Joy-Con while I'm using a pro controller, I just, like, quit.
All right, time to smash your abacus. Oh, that's all kanji.
Quit. Those are my favorite moments of playing Ace Combat back in the 360 days, where I'd be playing and I'm Austin and I would get in a server together, and it's just Korean and Japanese flags. And it's just like,
oh, no.
Okay. And I'm using like the overpowered plane that has a railgun on it instead of missiles, and I'm still getting decimated. Like, all right, well, that was fun.
They take their games very seriously.
They have like a full HOTAS setup.
They probably do. Like, oh my god, I still would love to do that, but like, it's a little much for one game. Get like the reverb pack too to put on my chest.
Haptic
like,
feedback.
Oh. What was it? Iron Brigade that had like the giant cockpit.
Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion. Yeah.
I was going to say, Iron Brigade's the Double Fine? Yeah, for 360. I don't know.
Yeah, where you... I remember seeing that in, like, one of the, like, used game stores when those were more abundant. Like, just off to the side. Like, I kind of want that just for the giant cockpit control.
But then where would you put the thing? It is obscenely large.
I don't know, I've been like considering getting a treadmill and just putting it behind the fan over there.
But why? Treadmills are so loud. Why in the living room?
Where else are we going to put it?
Basement's still technically under construction.
Yeah.
Well, once that room opens up, then...
That's where this is going.
It's just one table, Zachary.
This is going to take up the whole room.
No, but it won't.
It'll take up most of the room, trust me.
Well, as soon as we soundproof that room, Kayla's going to move in with her sewing equipment.
It's true.
Middle of the night Vietnam flashbacks.
It will be soundproof.
Just the doors open.
I already found the panels I want to get.
Fuck. It's just Grey's Anatomy and a sewing machine going off the entire time. That's her latest binge. Is she's just watching Grey's Anatomy. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to play Siege. Fuck! Zach, be quiet. No!
Zach, Dr. McSteamy is on the screen. Now is not the time for talking.
It's Cap!
Or my fucking scream moment yesterday.
Or...
I'm so sorry I did that.
I don't even remember what it was.
So, okay. So I had my Valk cam up in the bank lobby.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is hide in the little side office, wait for people to walk in the main entrance. So I'm like scanning. And two of their guys just rush into that office, but I'm laying prone behind a desk so they don't see me immediately. So I'm like, oh god, get out of cams. Kill these guys. But they were too quick to react to me being there.
Nah, nothing will get to me like Zach's triple goo.
The triple goo!
That woke me up.
Well, I was dead the entire game.
I was trying to sleep before Kingdom Hearts 3, and all I hear at like 7:30 is,
the triple goo! Because I aced it that round while I was dead.
Yeah. Oh, I heard, yeah, first was, I got an ace! Followed by, triple goo! I'm like, well, guess I'm awake right now. Guess we'll get some water.
I'm great. Siege was fun yesterday, even though we lost the two rounds we played.
Fucking Rook.
That damn Rook would not die.
I just don't understand why people are on the second floor of the bank when the objective's in the basement.
Where were you at?
They got to do those rounds.
I was on the second floor.
There you go.
Well, I was going up to the second floor from first.
But where were you?
Yeah. I'm Legion. I'm meant to roam. There was the one game we played where everyone was roaming. And it's like, no one's on objective.
Fuck. I'm roaming. Yeah, and you're roaming. Then who's on the bomb?
Like, oh, yeah, trap on the bomb. No one goes to it. Oh, another Kapka trap on the bomb. No one goes to it. Oh, we lost.
I am already dead.
Oh, my, oh, wow.
Okay. All right, Zach, do you want to talk about your Overwatch?
It fucking ended yesterday. The Shanghai Dragons 42-game losing, not game, match losing streak finally came to an end.
It's like they're the Cubs of Overwatch.
Yeah. No, like 42 matches is fucking insane.
Yeah, about 100 years without a championship. It's
true, but at least they were winning and getting close.
No. The year they actually won was like the first time they actually got close. Okay,
sure. Still, they didn't... Like, you think 0-16 is bad? 0-40. Just remember, 0-40.
That's like three Cubs seasons.
But yeah, watching the stream, like, people were crying because it was like... It became... The Shanghai Dragons became like the darling of the league of like, are they going to get the win? Are they going to do it? Like, they built a fan base off of losing everything because everyone was like... They wanted to be there for that win.
Happen?
They wanted to be there for the win.
Where were you when the Shanghai Dragons won?
Yeah.
I was here. I was in my room crying.
I wasn't crying. I'm just like, oh my God, it happened. It's finally over. Like, they can just play and nobody will. Well, now it'll just be 1-42. Yeah. But
God damn it. My poor gloss part of its nose. Aww. Yeah, lesion came off. No. I don't know where he went. He legitimately just disappeared.
That's so sad.
I know. That's like my favorite one, too.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm just stuck with Kapkin and Twitch. I'm talking about stickers on my water bottle, for the record. Audio listeners, only listeners. Should we ever just like set up like one of our cell phones over there and just Facebook Live this?
I mean, I guess we
be could, like but
Hall of Justice.
Yeah, how... What is it? Is it Dom who
streams
when they
it.
Record?
Yeah.
Like, he'll just hold his phone and just kind of rotate it around.
Just do an American Vandal pocket. I got a great view of just my water bottle pork. It's the only thing that still keeps me happy.
But yeah. Overwatch history was made yesterday. It finally ended. And God, I saw so many jokes of nobody beats the Shanghai Dragons 43 times in a row and gets away with it.
God.
Like, there's so many... tweets of that. I'm like, all
the
right,
Browns won a game last season, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they were
actually almost
were
made the playoffs.
In contention for a little while and then dropped off.
Oh, did I tell you what happened at the Liverpool game today?
No.
In the first half, four people got off injured.
Ow.
It was bad. Like, Man United lost like six players today due to injuries. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, well, this isn't great.
Everybody's damaged.
It was like Final Destination. Just like you could just
see. Oh, God,
see
am them. I next?
Like, they legitimately did not have any subs anymore. Wow. And Rashford still played part of the game with, like, his injury. And I'm just like,
damn.
Oh, my God. Kane's back, at least.
That's good.
Sorry, you talked about sports, so I'm going to talk about real sports. I'm going to go see the Rapids on Saturday. Yay! Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favorite team.
You never know. Portland made some really good trades. The Rapids actually made really good trades, too, but that's because they got destroyed last season. But live soccer, yay!
Are you going to be a part of the chants?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I don't know if American soccer has any chance. Like, British soccer has chance.
Oh, no, there's chance. They just go a lot like, fuck you!
It's like UNC football. Stab him! Block that kick!
Get off your knees, ref. You're blowing the game.
Dude, nothing is more, like, stressful than listening to middle school parents during a championship game. That's where I was yesterday, and it was horrifying.
We had one of those parents when I was playing soccer when I was a wee tot who wanted myself and a couple other people off the team because we weren't that good. Now, this is just a kids' soccer team.
Not even, like, Pee-wee League, just like just
we were maybe like the offshoot of Pee-wee League, where yeah, we had a championship at the end of the season, but who the fuck cared? It was kids soccer. We were the Sharks, but they had to have a team meeting one day because one of the parents wanted a few of us off the team because we were holding his son back.
Oh my God!
Fun fact: he didn't come back for the season after. And we went and got pizza afterwards. That was the first time I had Anthony's pizza. Fucking soccer.
So speaking of other things, I have a lot of extra news. I'm going to give you Zach.
Shit. Okay. Where's it going?
Okay. This is all comic news.
Okay.
So.
You could just probably put this as Zach's extra news.
Yeah. So, first of all, Tom Taylor has announced his new DC title. It's a limited series called Deceased.
We talked about this last week.
Well, no, the full solicitation came out for it. So, in a world of DC superheroes, a techno-organic virus has come out and caused all of the superheroes and regular people to essentially become zombies.
Damn it, Skrillex.
What?
Techno.
Oh.
It's a techno virus.
Well, every time you hear techno-organic, I just think Cable. But yeah, so it's coming out, I think, this May as part of one of the new number one series that they're doing the limited runs. I really want to get the variant cover, which is the Joker holding a red balloon in front of Jason Todd. And it's just like the perfect It homage. And I'm like, oh, just
no. We don't need Zombie Joker. We're going to get Zombie Joker.
We also got Headless Joker this May, too, with Last Night finally coming out. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's farewell to Batman.
Farewell.
Well, their farewell to their DC New 52 run as a whole. Because originally it was going to be Sean Gordon Murphy, and then Sean Gordon Murphy started doing his own writing and drawing for DC. And then it's like, well, this is Greg Capullo and I's love letter to Batman. Because it's supposed to like essentially be a continuation of everything else they've done with Batman.
That's pretty neat.
Yep. So I think that's going to be really cool. It's just Batman traveling around with Joker's head in a cage. And I think the original rumor was that it was supposed to be Damian as Batman.
Yeah, so that's what I thought.
And I mean, despite all his rage, he's still just a head in a cage.
Yes.
He's the mayor of the story.
The other big piece of news is in DC's May 2019 solicitations, there is going to be a special comic called Superman Leviathan Rising, special number one, which is Brian Michael Bendis's big DC event, Superman titles, since he's controlling all of those. And it features an all-star roster of writers and artists to highlight the new threat of Leviathan, but also brings up a new ongoing series for Jimmy Olsen, written by Matt Fraction, with art by Steve Lieber, and Lois Lane by writer Greg Rucka and artist Mike Perkins, coming in June. As Leviathan enacts a plan to take down Superman, it's up to Lois, Jimmy, and the heroes of the DC Universe to rescue the Man of Steel. So the one-shot is coming out as a prestige format book, so it'll be a nice little binding and everything. And it leads on to those two ongoing series. So I'm really pumped just because I would love... I really want to see what Matt Fraction does with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like, I really hope they just go do like all of the weird Silver Age shit that happened to Jimmy, like when he got turned into a giant turtle or other things like that.
Yeah. Is this Matt Fraction's first DC book? Or has he done other stuff?
I don't know, because he was just Marvel for so long.
Yeah. I don't know.
But again, it's Brian Michael Bendis is sitting there. Hey, DC, can I bring my friends with me? And sure enough, his friends came. And he's been doing a great job with Superman. Like, I don't think there's anyone else on the subreddit that the DC fanboys are polarized against than Bendis, Tom King, and to some days, Scott Snyder.
Yeah, this is Matt Fraction's first DC work.
Wow. And Greg Rucka doing Wonderful, or Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah. That was a very long time ago.
Do you remember Rebirth? I remember Rebirth. Those were the good old days.
Four pages of notes.
Four pages. Good times. Good times. Anyways, last piece of comic book news that we have is that Kieran Gillen is releasing a new title with Dan Mora called Once in Future, debuting in August with Boom! Exclamation mark Studios. Boom Studios today announced the Once in Future number one, an extra-sized issue kicking off an all-new limited series from New York Times best-selling writer Kieran Gillen, famous for The Wicked and Divine in Star Wars, and Russ Manning award-winning artist Dan Mora from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Klaus. Don't forget Power Rangers. Klaus. Exploring the mysteries of the past and the complicated truths of our history and the power of family to save the day, especially if that family has secret bunkers of ancient weapons and decades of experience hunting the greatest monsters in Britain's history.
This is the most Kieran Gillen statement I've ever heard of.
So I'm wondering if, are they going to be like, it's gonna be like Van Helsing versus Arthurian legend?
That's what I imagine.
Because like, if they're saying one of the most famous monster hunters with a bunker full of weapons, the first thing that pops into my mind, Van Helsing.
When a group of nationalists use an ancient artifact to bring a villain from the Arthurian myth back from the dead to gain power, ex-monster hunter Bridget McGuire pulls her unsuspecting grandson Duncan, a museum curator, into a world of magic and mysticism to defeat a legendary threat. Now the two must navigate the complicated history of the McGuire family and combat the deadly secrets of England's past that threaten its very future. Gillen stated, "I've been chewing over the classic explorer adventure serial could operate in the 21st century for a while. Dr. Aphra transplanting the genre to space was one conclusion. Once in Future is another, taking a genre whose core has barely changed since the 19th century and updating it for now. Adventure, romance, supernatural horror, and too much bloody research as always. When Boom Studios told me when the most talented action artist of his generation was interested in collaborating, I knew that we had all the ingredients we needed to create gold. Gold, which inevitably our heroes will steal."
I love Kieran Gillen so much.
Yeah, Dan Mora is going to be coming off doing Shattered Grid to do this. Working with Boom Studios has opened the door to new dream projects every year, but Once in Future is unlike anything I've ever worked on before. Kieran's created a new world very much like our own, but plagued by supernatural and mythological creatures that are a joy to bring to life. And Bridget, well, she's one of the most fun and surprising characters I've ever worked on, and I can't wait for audiences to meet her.
Sploosh.
Yeah.
Just sploosh.
I'm excited for it. Like,
I'm gonna
just
pick the fuck up.
Kieran Gillen's never written a bad story, so I'm just kind of there. His Star Wars run's really fun.
Star Wars is fun.
And Arthurian legend.
Wicked Divine, still incredible.
Have you been following his tweets today? Or the past 2 days?
I've seen a few of like his like questions he's been answering.
Oh, no. He's releasing the player's manual for Die.
Oh, yeah. I think like they had a beta version of the game like playable.
Yeah, and it's just like silly rules of like, the game must be played in a circle, preferably on a table with chairs. If one player is standing, that surmounts everyone else's power in the story. And it's just like, oh, neat.
God, him writing a game manual, it's just nothing but trolling.
Yeah. You originally follow him on Twitter for the memes, and then it's just like the puns.
And then they turned his like Twitter into a plot point in Wicked and Divine in the funnies.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. It's like, oh, so that's how she got the phone crack.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
I just, I'm going to need to figure out whether I'm going to pick up Die or fucking Once in Future, just because Kieran Gillen's not going to be writing anything else that I read right now.
He's so good.
He's leaving Star Wars. I'm just going to be like, fuck.
Well, you got till August to figure it out.
Yeah. I do want to read Die, though. Apparently, it's going into its fourth printing. So it's just like, oof.
So fucking good.
I thought I saw a tweet. It was like, yeah, it's coming out in your local comic store today. The third printing of Die 1.
It's just, again, it reminds me of just like the whole image market of people just buying number ones in hopes that like something happens.
Could start into a series and becomes popular and be like, I got number one. Mint condition.
Yeah, I sold my, what was it? That sci-fi series.
7 to Eternity?
Yeah, I sold my number one for 7 to Eternity for $70, and John helped me.
Did that series ever come back? I don't even know anymore.
I don't know. He was just like, yeah, sure. I could have bought it back from you for a cover price. You could have just returned it if you didn't want it, Zach. I'm like, I'm sorry, John.
Just messing with you.
Yeah. I'm allowed in the back of the store.
Ooh.
They told me, it's like, just to talk to John. And he was like, am I allowed back here? It's like, yeah, your family. I'm like, oh.
He said the F word.
He said the F word.
It's like Olive Garden. When I'm here, I am family. Except at the Olive Garden, when you're here, yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
You ran out of options.
Hey, when you're in Greeley, that's top-notch restaurant right there.
Olive Garden, when you're here, Maggiano's was full.
Okay. Wow, we ran really short today.
Yeah. We've had a couple long ones, so.
Is this what happens when we're all, like, fully invested and, like, we're here and Zach hasn't had caffeine yet? We're not going to derail the show immediately.
There's nothing really to derail with.
I mean, we could talk about Power Rangers Toy Fair.
Dude, it comes out next week! Beast Morphers.
Next week.
2 weeks. Right? No? I thought it was March 2nd. I don't know. I follow the entire cast on Instagram and they're all treasures and must be protected at all costs.
I mean, Toy Fair just happened this past weekend.
They revealed the Megazords that have been out since 2014.
Woo!
Because...
But unfortunately, because Hasbro, yes, they're going to be better quality, but all the Zords are going to be separated.
They've been doing that with the Legacy stuff for a while, though.
No, they kept the Megazords together, but they had, like, the Legacy action figures where they had to build a Megazord pieces, but... This one, it's each Zord is going to be in a separate box.
I totally saw at Target today that like there's a Tyrannosaurus Megazord by itself in a box.
Those aren't like, you can't make a Megazord out of it. It's just the Zord
that
stands there static.
Static shock.
Oh, fuck. It does come out March 2nd.
I was right.
Fuck!
It's next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Saturday.
That is. Damn it, I'm at the Rapids game.
Rangers. Oh, I know. I gotta go upside down.
What else is happening? This is actually like a good season too, because this was like the Japanese trying to riff off of American Power Rangers.
It wasn't even a riff, it was an homage.
Yeah. So it's like super serious.
So they're doing a Power Ranger series based on the Super Sentai series. They're paying tribute to the Power Ranger series that was created by Super Sentai series. There's so many layers.
They've come full circle.
It's an Ouroboros. It's just the snake eating its own tail the entire time.
Go Busta.
It's a good series.
It's Morphin time.
Like, I don't know.
They have guns that come out of cameras.
Okay.
What else?
We can end it early.
Anthem's pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about you playing Anthem for a full week.
Not even for a full week. It came out on Friday.
For a full 2 days.
Not even for a full 2 days. Like, servers were being updated yesterday. I played part of Friday.
Okay. So, Steve, tell us about Anthem. That's your recommendation.
It's fun.
You told me I wouldn't like it.
No. If you weren't into Destiny, you won't be into this.
I put like 2 hours into The Division. I think that was the game I bailed on even faster than I did Destiny. I don't know why.
Maybe.
Oh, I bailed the fuck out of The Division one. Because John bought it, and then I started it late. And by then, everyone who was on my friends list who played it was hardcore into it, and had already done everything. So I was playing by myself while everyone was like, yeah, there's not much for me to do unless I want to go into the Dark Zone, and I don't want to go into the Dark Zone.
Yeah, the game did suffer from very lack of content endgame. Which is like their main focus, and the second one is like, yeah, we just focused on endgame this time.
Yeah, no, they're already putting it as like, we already have a full year of free content planned. Like, wow, you're going a year out.
Yeah, Thanos is there.
Ubisoft knows what they're doing with these.
Well, and that's how Anthem is too. Of like, yeah, we have a full release schedule. Our next patch that's out next month, we're already going to put in a new stronghold.
I feel like it's just people. I don't know if it's developers underestimating how fast people burn through this content, or if it's just the full-time streamers and stuff and people who can like devote 40 hours a week to a game like that.
Well, like a couple of my friends just took the day off on Friday, and when I got on, like they went from like probably the night before, and then when I got on in the afternoon, they were already like 330 on their javelin, which mine, it's after a few hours of playing, I'm 76.
It's really low. It's really, really high. Like,
yeah,
it's the robot. Okay.
Like,
not like a javelin. Okay.
Like, there's the Grandmaster tiers, which are like the super fucking hard, and that's like Grandmaster 1, 2, and 3. I think Grandmaster 2 is recommended like 350 Javelin.
Okay.
Grandmaster 3 is like 500.
Wouldn't like 400 and stuff like become like the norm of like, yeah, this is like max level here.
What's the highest level in World of Warcraft right now?
120 or something.
Okay, never mind.
They have like an item level system
what all of this reminds me of, like with Anthem, Destiny, Division, like it's not necessarily the gear grind, but it reminds me of all those people who wanted to play MMOs but just could not invest in subscriptions or anything else for those MMOs at the time.
Or the people who did play MMOs and now they've moved to this.
Like they wanted something that were more hands-on MMOs, which I think Anthem reminds me of the most, other than the loading screens.
The loading screens aren't even that bad. Like I'd say they're as bad, not as bad, but they're just like Destiny's. The only thing is Destiny had your ship flying in space to distract you. They didn't have a loading bar that you could actually watch. Like anytime your ship was just kind of floating there or even flying over the planet, that's a loading screen, people.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't put a bar on the screen to show you the progress of the loading screen doesn't mean it didn't exist.
Yeah, I feel like it's still the same. It's suffering from the same issues that a lot of these first-time games of service things have occurred. Like, it has a rough launch. Like, it takes a little while for things to get worked out, and then, like, by, like, 6 months to a year, it's like, oh, no, the game is incredible now.
Oh, yeah, well, and the only reason it takes a little longer to load is because they're loading the entire world at once. Like, it's not like in Destiny, like Witcher, where if you go into a different part of the EDZ, you could hit a loading screen where they're loading the part in front of you. That's not an Anthem when you're doing free roam. Everything's already loaded. Like when you go into a side dungeon, they're loading the entire dungeon at once.
Yeah. I'll probably need to optimize that. Because that's a lot of resources you're trying to load at once.
Well, and it's like on.
You can lazy load some of that shit.
And like what I don't like is like one of the things that I. Like, yes, I understand that people compare like the E3 to the actual release. And if they claim this is actual gameplay, then sure, nitpick the fuck out of it. But someone took the scene like in when you're in the common spot, the common area, and you're in the bazaar, and someone took the scene from the E3 announcement and put that side by side with in-game, you watch the E3 announcement, that's clearly a cutscene. Like it's clearly a pre-generated video instead of someone actually playing the game.
But, like, how often are E3 trailers actually your game that you're viewing?
Very rarely.
Yeah, like...
God of War is, like, the only exception where it got better.
Or it's just, like, I'm sitting there thinking about it, like, even to the degree of, like, the Uncharted 3 debacle, where, like, you know, he's talking and he's waving the controller around in his hand and the game is still going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just don't assume whatever I'm seeing on screen at E3 is the game. Like, that Halo Infinite trailer with those water physics.
It's the game. It's the game, but it's on, like, the highest-end hardware possible.
Well, yeah. And, like, something a normal person would not be able to buy.
Yeah, like, it's like talking, a $3,000 rig. Yeah.
And that's
minimum.
Yeah, and that's why it's so big for Phil Spencer to come out. Like, people at E3 this year were complaining. It's like, oh, why are they showing this is playable on the Xbox One X? It's like, no, that's the game engine it's running at. So we're viewing it in real time in 4K on our 720p screens. Like, it's meant to be this way. I don't know. I just like, I hate gamer culture.
Yeah, it's, and like, 9 times out of 10, when you watch an E3 trailer, at the very bottom, very, very small text and very, very light, it'll say, not actual gameplay or not gameplay engine
or gameplay rendered in engine.
Yeah.
That does not mean this is this does not equal gameplay.
It means they took their engine, rendered took the scene they wanted to see, rendered it into this cutscene and showed it to you
and then moved on.
Yeah. Unless it says at the bottom actual gameplay. It's not going to be that way when you get it.
Yeah. So yeah, Anthem's there. Doom Patrol is still going. Episode 2 came out.
You're just killing me with these fucking additions here.
That's it. It's just I want to talk about Doom Patrol. Just being just the clip we showed you, it explains the entire series perfectly of like, who are you talking to? It's like, oh, the Grant Morrison fans, the Reddit trolls.
Reddit users with DC subscriptions and the three new fans who stayed after the donkey fart. And I'm like, oh, I'm the last one.
I'm the first one.
I will say, Alan Tudyk does really cool the way they like stylized him.
Oh, God. It's just like they turn really into a fucking uncomfortable.
Super trippy.
And let's never forget the greatest DC character ever.
Satanic Roach.
The Satanist cockroach.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, the Satanist cockroach. I'm assuming Satanist.
Because he talks about his Lord being whipped.
Yeah,
heavens.
Being lashed. And yeah. It's like, and you know, I don't see many people who worship God be like, yes, my great Lord, it's all for you. It's like, no, they just pray.
Yeah. I really wish that more people had the DC subscription service for this show specifically. Because I think this show definitely blows Titans out of the water.
I think they could benefit from doing like what Rooster Teeth does, where like they got a brand new show, episode one, free for everyone on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like make it available for everyone to watch so they can see what it's about and then be like, oh, fuck yeah, I want to watch that.
That's how I got hooked on Deadly Class. First episode's on YouTube. I'm like, all right, let's go.
I couldn't get into Deadly Class that much. It was an interesting first episode, but Umbrella Academy, though, fucking amazing.
I'm still on episode two, and all my students want to talk about it.
It's fucking amazing.
Say any spoilers, I'm writing you up. But you read the comic. Shut up,
yeah,
Gretchen.
No, I'm pretty sure it deviates from the comic.
Yeah.
Based on just how the season ends. Because after the season ended, I went and read the plot synopsis for volume one. I was like, huh. That's not how it ended.
Yeah.
Was it a short season?
10 episodes.
Okay. Wow, you got through that quick.
I don't fuck around with Netflix shows.
No, you don't. You don't.
And again, it's because after I read how the algorithm works, where apparently they mostly look at the first 2 weeks of shows out, how much it gets watched. So if you binge watch the whole season, that reflects positively on the show.
Oh, that's so dumb. I don't have time for that.
I'm never like home to begin with.
Well, and it's the same thing like with movies. The big number everyone looks at right off the bat, opening weekend. Like, how did it do?
And then the
in its opening weekend.
How much did it drop off in the second week?
Yeah. And that's what they're looking for of like, yeah, the first weekend of the show coming out could be fucking spectacular, but then if the first episodes don't hook everybody, you're going to see a drop off in the
this is why Doom Patrol is starting production again in April for season 2. Give me some Gerard Way shit now. Because the entire show screams Grant Morrison.
Well, yeah, the whole time, like, the hole was going on and everything was falling. Like, is that Dannyland? Are they going to Dannyland? Is it going to be Dannyland?
I really wanted it to be Dannyland because he's confirmed for the show. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Where is Danny?
Yeah.
He's going to be like a mid-season thing.
I hope so. Just like.
Actually, no, we've probably already seen Danny.
We just don't know it.
Yeah. Probably seen an ambulance go by.
Or a brick.
Or a brick.
Yeah.
How many bricks were in that town, Zach? One of them had to be Danny.
Which one of them killed a god?
Ezekiel.
Yeah.
One of Ezekiel is Danny.
Also, everyone should listen to the new Dream Theater album. It's fucking, it rips so hard. It's just fire.
And there's a meme.
Wow.
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 Alrighty. Should we end it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So thank you guys for listening to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. You can leave us a follow, a subscription, a review, any of those things on any major podcasting services around you, like Google Play, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and we'll read your reviews on air because it'll make us really happy boys. And you can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter through
z2podcast.com/comment.
I'm surprised you always lead with the... You can reach us.
I forgot. This is what happens when I don't have caffeine and I'm wide awake. I need to be like antsy to remember everything. Anyways.
You need that Jeff Williams music.
Is that everything? Yeah. Hi. Bye, internet. Love you.